Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Moments with Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle. This is Mary Blake, your host, and today we are talking about smiling. And we are born smiling, but somewhere along the way we're taught to be serious, to pay attention, worry and work and complain. So we learn to frown instead of smile. Ada Marie prescribed smiling as part of her life extension mission. And throughout her remarkable career, this seer, healer, spiritual mentor has proven the power of the smile to create physiological, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. From her retreat in Oracle, Arizona, she reaches across the world with prayer, prophecy, and prescriptions for a long, fulfilling life. And Ada Marie, let's get on with the power of the smile.
Well, Mary, the power of the smile can save your life, believe me, or somebody else's life. Just for instance, in the beginning, I'm going to tell you, after I was damaged so badly, I was able to get up and walk. And I was very, very sad. I just thought, why am I alive? There's nothing for me. What can I do? Nothing. And I got out of my chair, and I walked outside of where I was, and I walked about, I don't know, a fourth of a block, and there was a young man sitting in a wheelchair who was a quadriplegic, and he was smiling. Now, Mary, that young man was sitting there smiling. He was about 18 or 20, I don't know, right in that age group.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at him, and I just stood there. And I thought, how selfish can I be? How selfish can I be to think there is nothing in life I can do? Because in high school, I was always called Smiley. Everybody called me Smiley or Red, because my hair was red. They always said that, because they said I always had something to say that was uplifting and funny. And as I got older and had children, and I taught my children to smile, one of the things we did at our evening meal was to tell about the day's experience and what funny things happened, and everybody would be in hysteria about something or another, and that was how we would finish the day. So as I work with people, especially people who are ill and have had heart attacks or strokes or something, the first thing I do with them is I tell them, you know, the biggest healer is yourself. And when you can look in the mirror and smile at yourself and see yourself in perfect health, tap your temples and say, I am in perfect health, and smile at yourself, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it won't be very many days until you look forward to that smile that you see in the mirror. And it's proven to be true, Mary. It's proven to be true. Just look in the mirror, tap your temples, and say, I am in perfect health. And believe it or not, within a short period of time, that smile will stand you in good stead, and people will see you, and they'll smile back at you, and that's how you know that they accepted your smile. You don't have to know them. You just smile, and they will smile back.
That's true.
In every instance, a smile is catching. You have a smile, you give it to somebody, they give it to somebody else, and they give it to somebody else, and that smile just runs for miles. It's the way it works, because no matter how angry you are, no matter how hateful you are, no matter how selfish you are, you're going to be bound to smile about something.
Yeah.
And that smile is going to be picked up by someone else and interpreted as a positive. You see, a smile
is a
positive energy. Okay?
Sure is.
They
don't
even have to know you. If they see you smile, they remember the smile. So when you think about your situation and the shape you're in and what somebody might have done to you or said about you or didn't bring you or forgot about your birthday, just smile to yourself, because that smile will go all the way to every thought you had.
Mm-hmm.
That smile will travel through the ether, and when you speak to someone, they will hear that smile in your voice.
Do you see
what I'm saying? Now, you had some psychological
absolutely.
Things.
Yeah. You know, the funniest thing, I read somewhere that there was a guy who would use baseball cards to predict the lifespan of the baseball players. And he said that the ones with the biggest smiles lived about, I put either 7 or 9 years longer than the ones that with a serious expression. Now, is that amazing that you could predict they would live longer?
Well, they're not stressed. You see, people create their own stress, Mary. People create their own stress. Someone gets mad at me. They're angry with me. I don't know that, and I don't know why they'd be angry with me, but they're angry with me, so they don't like me. And if I was to be sad about that and not smile, I would be doing myself a disservice, not them.
Oh,
they're
absolutely.
The ones that are hurting themselves because they are being angry. They are being selfish. They are being hateful and rude. It's not me.
Yeah.
I'm not having that problem.
You know what? It's even more work to frown. You know, it takes 14 muscles to smile and 60 muscles to frown.
Right.
Now, is that
right.
funny?
Well, think about how many times you can smile even to yourself. I say, oh, my.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel it. Ah, I did
mm-hmm.
it. I did a good job. I did it.
Yeah.
A lot of times I think what happens is people get so caught up in carrying around their troubles. They carry them around. They don't leave them at home on the desk. They don't leave them in the dresser drawer. They carry them with themselves. They always got them.
They don't leave them at the bank. They don't leave them at the post office.
No.
Yeah.
They carry them around. And if they're going to carry them around, how can they be happy?
Yeah,
you know, it's okay. We all have to do things. One time a few years ago, last 7 or 8 years, I spent a lot of money doing something to help somebody. And it didn't seem to help them, but that was okay. That's where my heart went. That's the job I did. Now, I finally managed to pay off all those credit cards that I had trying to help somebody. They're done. It's over. And I'm completely released, and I'm happy. Because even though I was not successful in teaching a person how to be harmonious and peaceful and happy, I was successful in paying for my mistake, you see? And mistake was
absolutely.
I tried too hard.
And you learned something that you can't get well for somebody else.
No, you can't.
It doesn't work.
They want to be ill, and there's nothing that you can do that'll change them. So I smile when I think about what a ridiculous amount of time I spent and energy and divine pure love sliding through every cell and molecule of the being, because divine pure love comes directly from God and goes to everything. Everything you touch is covered with divine pure love, and I send a lot of it. I send it to you, you know, I send it to a lot of people.
Of course, yeah.
And that helps to raise your vibration, to heal you, to give you strength to look at tomorrow. And that brings a smile to your face when you go, oh, my gosh, I did that. Oh, my gosh, I accomplished that. That's a wonderful thing. And if you count your accomplishments instead of things that you have to do, you will smile more often.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I actually baked a cake the other day, and it didn't fall for some reason. It baked just fine, and I was very happy about that. So I frosted that cake, and we all ate from that cake for a couple, 3 days, and I was thrilled to death because I've had my oven is about almost 40 years old, lacking a year or two, and it's been a wonderful oven, and I know it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it, and why that cake didn't come out, I have no idea. But I will tell you this. It tasted good. It was moist. And I'll bake another one.
Good.
So that isn't going to stop me. I'll do it again. my husband goes, well, my goodness, I didn't think you were going to bake another cake. I said, oh, yeah, I'm baking another one. Not today. Not today. Tomorrow. But not today. So that was what was going on. I mean, but I was smiling because, my goodness, here it was, come out of the oven, a little dent in the middle of it. And I have no idea. But then we had a bad, and it's in the house, so I can't blame it on the wind, but the weather was not, it was, you know, you can't make divinity if the sun isn't shining and there's no clouds in the sky.
Yeah.
Well, there's certain times when you bake that if the weather is bad, it doesn't come out as well.
Well, you're kind of in the mountains anyway, and it takes
longer.
Yes, we are.
We're 5,000 feet up.
It takes longer for things to bake, and it takes.
Yes, it does. And even though I baked it longer, it wasn't quite adequate. So, but anyway, I'll do it again. Tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah, but it was you learned.
Yeah.
I tell you something really very, very funny that happened once. I was in a workshop, and you know, I attended hundreds of workshops in the Association for Humanistic Psychology, and in this workshop, our assignment was we had to tell a sad story, but we had to smile while we were telling the sad story. Something that upset us and something that had hurt us, but we had to smile the whole time we were telling it. And the funniest thing was that it kind of magically disappeared. It lost its power and it lost its energy, and it didn't bother it. And people were sitting there with their mouths hanging open saying, why don't I feel bad anymore? Because you were smiling.
Right.
But isn't that the funniest thing?
Well, it's true, because I have said, when people were saying some very nasty things to me, and I just smile at them, and I keep sending them divine, pure love and light, and I keep sending it, and they say, don't you care? I said, it's how you feel, not how I feel. And I'm smiling, and they said, what? I said, it's your attitude, not mine. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel fine. If that's what you think, that's perfectly fine. Just keep on thinking it. And they never can get it. They can't get it.
Yeah.
You know, because
Isn't that wild?
Well, because
mm-hmm.
it's what somebody else thinks, not what you think.
Mm-hmm.
I may think very highly of somebody, and they may think very poorly of me, but that's their thinking, not mine. So that's fine. You know,
mm-hmm.
let them think.
So as long as you have...
I don't think that way.
So you have control of your own thoughts and your own feelings.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do have control of them. Everyone does. If they let their emotions run wild, that's when they get into trouble, and that's when they get hurt, because those emotions take you on a terrible ride. They take you on an awful ride. If
mm-hmm.
you have helped someone and they have literally betrayed you and done things that were very unkind, and by the time
mm-hmm.
you find out, it was too late, at least you had done your work with an open heart and with a clear consciousness. What they did to you was coming from the kind of energy that they carried. So that's not your energy. That's their energy, and they have to live with that energy. And if they get sick, if they get a heart attack, if they have a stroke, if they break a leg, if they do whatever they do, because those people always have trouble. They always have some kind of health problems. That's their problem. It's not yours or mine. I don't have that problem.
That's right. So when you smile, it helps you to take control of your feelings.
It does take control. You can be looking in the mirror, and your hair can be six ways to Sunday, and you know, it looks like the wind did your hair for you, and it created this hairdo, and you can look at it, and you can just out and out laugh, and it's what the wind did, so that's okay. You take a brush, and you brush it down, and it's fine. I find it very, very funny that people get so uptight over tiny little things that don't mean nothing. 30 seconds later, it won't even show up anywhere. You know, it just isn't going to do that. So just smile.
That's the interesting thing about babies, you know, because they can be crying one minute and laughing the next.
Right, right. And if you reach down and put your finger out there for them to take a hold of your finger, they'll take a hold of your finger and just gurgle and smile and be perfectly happy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just perfectly happy. And if they need a diaper, they cry. And that needs to be tended to. Yeah.
Of course.
So, you know,
that's the only way they can communicate at that time. They can't talk yet.
All they can
do is cry.
They can't. Although when I had the nursery, I had a little baby come to the nursery. She was 3 months old. And when somebody walked through the door, she'd say, "Good morning." Shock all of us. But I said to her mother, I said, "Who taught her good morning?" She says, "I don't know. I didn't teach it to her." She said, "I got up one morning and went to her crib," and she says, "Good morning." And it was so cute because it was a little child. Good morning, she'd say.
Right.
Everybody that came through the door, she sat in her little chair, you know, that wherever those chairs are, and in the basket. And she'd say, "Good morning." I never forgot that. I thought, holy cow, that's going to be the happiest little girl in the world.
That's adorable, isn't that? Yeah. And when actually, don't you find that when you are around children, you smile more?
Well, you do because they do. They do, you know. You if you work around people who always have got a problem, they just are always in a stew over something, uproar of some kind.
Yeah.
They just can't be peaceful and harmonious because they want to live like that. They want an argument. They don't want peace and harmony. If they did, it's just one smile away from where they're at with this frown. So they'll only smile if they're getting something they want. The rest of the time, they're crabby. And there's what's the difference between smiling or frowning? A certain number of muscles in the face make it happen, but what is the difference in the heart?
Exactly.
Is that healthy? No. It's
what
not
does
healthy.
What does smiling do to the heart? That's
smiling
amazing.
Smiling raises the vibration of the heart and brings you up into a higher rate of consciousness. In other words, it can bring you all kinds of things. Well, I had a person for a retreat, and he was so overwhelmed. By the end of the retreat, he walked in my office and sat down, and he said, "How much do you owe on your retreat house?" And I told him, and he wrote me a check to pay it off.
And
I said, you smile. Well, I was in shock. I said, are you sure you want to do this? And he said, well, yes, because you taught me. And I was shocked. But you see, when you work with your heart and you give healing with your heart and the other person receives it with their heart, there is a kicker. The person has to be receiving. They have to accept. They have to receive the things you give them to use. And when you do that and they recover and they become happy, they never want to go home. I mean, I'm always having that problem with people. They come for 3 days and they want to stay for five because they're happy and they feel protected, but they're protecting themselves because they are happy.
Sure.
If you are happy and you smile when you're walking down the street, I don't care what city you're in, what country you're in, and you are smiling, you have the protection of that smile because everybody you see will smile back. It'll just go around and around and around. That smile will go miles. And people will step out of your way. They'll nod their head. They'll be very friendly because the smile has got their attention. So when you get out of bed, I don't care how miserable you are, smile at yourself in the mirror, and you'll feel better right away. Right away.
Absolutely. It's amazing, but it's true.
It is very
absolutely
true.
Right.
It is
it's
true.
It's hard to be miserable when you're smiling.
You can't. You just
can't.
It
doesn't work very well.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And if you can be as friendly as you want, never say a word. If you smile, you don't have to say anything. You've said it all with a smile.
Absolutely.
So
you are so right.
I believe that what happens is people do not smile enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can be sitting at my desk and I can be looking at a whole pile of stuff that looks like it's going to take me a week to wade through, and I kind of smile to myself and say, okay, Father, let's get this job done. And then I start in. And instead of a week, I can do it in about 3 to 4 hours. Because I have so much mail that I have to handle and take care of that it's amazing, just amazing. So,
well,
in fact,
you do have people all over the world that are reaching out to you.
Well, and I just sent some stress bath to somebody in Florida the other day, and they called in the morning and they said, I'm almost out. I've tried to make it, but it isn't like what you send me. Could you send it? So I jumped up about 6:15. I jumped up and I boxed up some and I took it to the post office and I got it in the mail to her because she is an older person, and that has been her saving grace to get all the pain out of her legs and arms and everything. She stays in there for 20 minutes or a half hour and gets out, and she's fine. Her emotions are settled down. Her energy pattern is quieted down. She's happy. And she can go to bed and have a good night's sleep.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. So I sent her... I think I sent her 10 bags. It's $15 a bag. And that'll last her a long time. There's 2 baths in every bag. So that'll last her a while. But she was smiling when she came on the phone and asked if I had, could I send it? I said, I'll have it out today. And she started laughing. She said, you're just like that. You're just like that. And she was laughing. She said, doesn't matter what somebody asks for, you got it. And I said, well, it's true. I try to keep things on hand so that if someone needs it, I can get it out to them. So,
absolutely.
You know, and she was smiling, and she hadn't been feeling very good, so it was good for her. She sent me an email later that day, and she said, this is the first day that I've really felt like something good was happening to me.
Aww.
So, but I had told her, I said, listen, go to the sink, put some salt in your hands. And then she said, yeah, and wash my mm-hmm. face with salt water. I said, yeah, and
uh-huh.
you'll pick yourself up. Because mm-hmm. honestly, Mary, the fastest way to pick yourself up from a negative thought or condition is to go to the sink and wet your hands, put some salt in them, and wash your face with salt water. And believe me, that negativity just gets away from you. And when you're done drying your face, you will be smiling because it's on your tongue, mm-hmm. salt water. But it's the easiest and fastest way to let go of any kind of thoughts that are unkind or selfish or not positive.
Yeah.
So. That makes
a huge difference. That, you know, salt used to be more valuable than gold.
It was. There was a time when that was true, and people didn't. You know, people then used it accordingly and sparingly. They didn't waste
sure
it.
Did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it does
it's
make a smile if you've been. If somebody has sent a negative energy, like a few days ago, somebody sent me a very horrible, horrible energy. I just
mm-hmm.
was in the kitchen. I just turned
mm-hmm.
around, and I said, well, I'll handle mm-hmm. this. And I washed my hands and face with salt water and run that negative energy down the drain. I didn't want it to go anywhere, and I just put it down the drain. In three or four minutes, I was back to myself.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
That's a good tip for anybody, because a lot of times men will come home and they'll be angry and
mm-hmm.
nasty to their wife, and their wife there's no reason for it. Their wife has been working hard and doing what she needed to do, or women will come home and be the same way. I mean, it goes both
mm-hmm.
ways. But if you can wash your hands and face quickly with salt water, it goes away, and that's it. It's done.
Okay.
And I highly recommend it.
That's a very good tip. It's an excellent
tip. Now, tell me
tip.
What you were going to tell me that you had researched about smiles.
Oh, well, that they have actually measured the physiological changes that happen in the body when you smile. And they have found that the blood pressure will go down, and all kinds of amazing things will happen in your body when you smile.
Hmm.
It's just fantastic. So they recommend smiling will make you live longer.
Well, it does make you live longer. That's one of the things in my life extension course that I teach people when they come,
mm-hmm.
is how important it is mm-hmm. to not be stressed, to smile instead, and smile at the stress and say, okay, be gone. Just be gone. Get behind me. I don't need to deal with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a man now that is in, he's 92, he lives in Florida. And he's in West Virginia. He goes to Florida on occasion. He's still with us. He's still here.
Uh-huh.
And
great.
He had a heart attack when he was 51. And I went down there and I spent a month with him, working with him. And he got over that. He got over that heart attack. And he's still alive. And this is many years ago, and 40 years ago, and he's still with us, and he's doing fine. Got a good
mm-hmm.
sense of humor. It's funny. Always did have a good sense of humor, but, I mean, he still has it, you know. So that's a good thing.
Well, they show that also that smiling can increase your body's immune system.
Yeah.
And it has a therapeutic effect on the circulatory system, which
mm-hmm.
can really reduce blood pressure. And then also it goes on the neural processes and the emotional content of the brain.
Yeah. It duly affects the brain because it takes away all of the sickness in the body and turns mm-hmm. the brain power into total perfection of health. So if you tap
yeah.
your temples and say, I am in perfect health, and you are smiling during the day, and you are doing things
mm-hmm.
in a positive, loving manner, you're going to be healthy.
Right.
You can't help it, because that smile within you is looking outward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that smile is showing through your being, out through your face and your
Absolutely.
Actions.
Absolutely. And there's something about smiling. They say that we are emitting 3D ultrasounds and technology. They've shown that babies smile inside the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Even before
see,
they're born.
I'm sure
mm-hmm.
they do. And see, you got all this good, wonderful technical information. All I've got is what I know to be true because I've been there myself. And it works.
I have found that if you give scientists a chance, once in a while they will prove what we already know. Have
yeah.
you ever noticed that? You know?
Yeah, I have noticed that. They come up with this when you've known it for 40 years, but it's brand new because they finally proved it.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's funny. According to scientists, nothing is real unless you can prove it. And that's the silliest thing in the world. I mean, whoever
that's
heard?
That's ridiculous. There's a lot of things that could not be proved because the source of our being has stepped in and straightened them out. And
yeah.
And you prove to me, people say, how do you know? How do you know there's something there? I said, because I'm a walking example of that something. I am alive, and I am well, and I am healthy, and I am willing to share my knowledge with anybody who is willing to want to work hard enough to live and be healthy. That's it.
Or smile hard enough.
You're right, because that means they have
sometimes
to smile.
Sometimes it's hard work to smile, but it's worth it. You know?
Well, it's only hard to smile when you are listening to somebody and their negativity is 6 feet deep and you're only 5 feet high.
Yeah, right.
That makes it hard to smile. So,
yeah,
you know.
and it's hard to smile when things everything feels like they're going wrong. But when you get to
like
the point,
listen. If everything is going wrong, then that is going to come to a quick end because the more wrong it goes, the better it's going to get when it flies out the window.
Oh,
good
yeah.
Things
can,
are
you go,
coming.
Can you go
good
a little deeper into that?
Okay. My dad told us when we were kids, you know, there would be a lot
mm-hmm.
of things that you couldn't do where we came from in the wintertime because the snow, it was 40 and 50 below, and the snow was 10, 20 feet high. Who knows what it was. It was bigger than
yeah.
we were anyway. And he said,
yeah.
"Well, this is important. Just remember, you are experiencing what God has to do to be able to make you to live a healthy, comfortable, happy life and do the things that you want to do. Now, we have one side of the house was covered with snow because the wind blows 380 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that being said, we always had ropes to go to different places, like if you went out to the toilet or you went to the well house or you went to the shop or you
uh-huh.
went to the barn, there was ropes and there was
uh-huh.
paths to follow, but you had to hang on to the ropes so you didn't get lost. So
yeah.
And he'd just say, so this is, we know we're going to do this, and we're going to do it. So, you know, you're not going to let go of that rope. You're going to hang on to it till you get to the door of a building. And and we weren't very big. We were 10, maybe 8, I think, maybe 8, 10. Mm-hmm. And it was just a common thing to do what you were told.
Yeah,
I mean, who's
going to
sit down in a snowdrift and cry?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's a good way to get icicles on your cheek.
Yeah, right. It certainly is. But, I mean, that being said, that was extreme, I know. But that brings you to the fact that you are going to only do what is positive. You're only going to do something positive. You're not going to carry from the house a quarter of a mile to the barn. You are not going to carry a negative thought. In fact, we used to take and bounce along because Daddy said, you've got to be happy. You've got to have fun. The snow is wonderful. Don't just get out in it. Just walk beside it. And that's what we had to do, of course. We had to do that. But you see, he taught us to smile about the fact that this tunnel that we were walking in that they had shoveled for us to get from one place to the other was part of the goodness of what God was giving us for moisture for the year.
Was your father born in Norway, or were his parents born in Norway?
No, he was born in Hatton, North Dakota. My grandmother, after my grandpa died, brought all the kids first to Baylor and then on to Glasgow. And Daddy farmed south of Glasgow, and we only had 1,200 acres, so we didn't have a very big place. And that's what we farmed, and we run cattle and horses, you know. But it was everything I was taught was, I know today, it was common sense. In fact, I was on a talk show with somebody, and I was telling people how they could do certain things. And near the end of the show, the man said, this is the most interesting show I have ever done. Everything this woman has said is common sense. He said, it's a very short supply, folks, so I hope you've taken notes. And I laughed because I didn't realize that it wasn't common knowledge.
Common sense is not common knowledge. That is that is something to write down and to think about.
Well, it's true. It's not. Because people don't teach their kids the little things that they should know. They don't tell them what could happen and what they will do and what they won't do. They just let them, I don't know what they do with them. They let them holler and scream and carry on instead of teaching them some solid words and manners and things that would help them when they get older, you know.
Yeah.
The kids today are not taught real common sense things. I had a little grandchild screaming and crying. I turned around and looked at her. I just looked at her. And when I caught her eye, guess what happened? The sound stopped, the feet stopped, everything stopped.
Were you smiling?
It stopped. I was smiling, but I just looked at her, and when she stopped, I smiled. And then she got up and ran over to me. So, you know. But she knew it wasn't a good thing to do. She wanted attention. And my dad used to say, this is something my dad used to say, and I never really understood it until I had kids of my own. He'd say, we'd fall down or something. He'd say, come over here and I'll pick you up. So you'd get up and go to him, and he'd pick you up and dust you off and say, you look pretty good, and put you down and away you went. But he never went and picked you up. He just said, come over here and I'll pick you up. I mean, it just was so sensible. Because all through life, Mary, don't we have to pick ourselves up?
Of course we do.
I was in
Hawaii with my granddaughter, who was, I think, about 10 or 11 at the time, and she fell down in the caldera on that that stuff, you know, what do you call it, that stuff from the volcano, you know.
Yeah.
And it's sharp and it hurts, you know.
Right.
And so she was crying, and I said, come on over here so I can hug you. And she came over, and she said, why didn't you come and pick me up? And I said, because you wouldn't have had the chance to prove how strong you were, that you could do it by yourself. I wanted you mm-hmm. to know that you were strong enough to do it. If I did it for you, it would have taken your power away.
Right.
And she looked at me like kind of strangely. I did not know my grandma's going. And Grandma Mary is kind of weird, but I think she kind of got it after a little while.
Well, after, you know, like months later, even today, sometimes some of the things that Grandma would say or Dad would say would, today I'm reiterating those things and realizing what they actually meant, because mm-hmm. what they actually meant, and when you don't really see all the things that are trying to tell you, when you finally open your eyes and you say, oh my God, forgive me, Father, I didn't realize I was in the middle of this, and and I prayed about it to make myself stronger and better so I would be wiser. Mm-hmm. Because I don't care mm-hmm. how old you are, you can learn something. You can always learn something new. And you can always make
it
work
if
it's positive.
You can learn something new from something old that you...
Right.
You can
right.
look at something you've seen for years and see something new about it.
Right. And see a reason
so,
for it.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think about it, my mother had a baby when she was 40. And I swear she got younger when she had that baby.
Well, yeah, because, you know, children do keep you young. No matter where I go, I always find a few little ones that I can talk to or visit with the family or latch on to for mm-hmm. a little bit, or I can sit for somebody for a few hours while they go to the market, because I like children and I like the fact that they are happy and they want to, you know, they want to talk. And so
right.
and I like spending time with little ones.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't want to have
amazing.
Them day and night, but I'm happy to have them for an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to put them to bed at night, but I'm happy if their mother has to go to the doctor and somebody has to watch them. I'm happy
mm-hmm.
to take care of them. So that's
sure.
not a bad thing. I just work it into my schedule.
Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense to me. So as you work with reach out to children, and then you can take that with you for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know, a smile can change your whole day.
Oh my gosh, your heart just leaps. Believe me, your heart just leaps. There's a little girl that was related to a person I worked with, and she is an absolute jewel, and she smiles, and she's a good child. She's just absolutely wonderful, and I enjoy just being able to see her and appreciate having her come by and be here for a little bit. But she's just a jewel, and she's about, I think she's about 3 now, maybe 4. But she has
uh-huh.
grown into such a beautiful little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And minds, believe me, she minds. That's a good thing.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yes,
she has manners. Yeah, she has manners. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It is. When... I know that you do that you accept phone calls from,
Well,
it's 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. New York
right.
time, but it's 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. or Oracle Arizona time. Do you accept the calls every day?
Yeah, I do. I take credit cards. So when somebody calls and wants a counseling, I take credit cards. And then after that few minutes, then we start the counseling. I don't start it before I take the credit card and run it, and then I'm able to
mm-hmm.
talk, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then
sure.
I can talk to them after that. So they don't have to worry if they got credit cards, which everybody does. If they want to talk, then we do the credit card, and then I talk.
Uh-huh. Would you give us the telephone number so they can reach you?
520-896-9510. And that's Arizona time, and it does not change at all. Arizona time always stays the same. And then they can email me, and then we can set a time for a phone call. A lot of times the phone does ring, and I'm on another call. You see, I have three phones, Mary, and so I try to answer. I try to answer them all, but if they ring at the same time, it's a little difficult. So if they leave a message,
if you're in the middle of counseling somebody, you can't stop.
Yeah. No, they have to leave a message. If they leave a message on the other phone or call back later, then I can take them. So
mm-hmm.
that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
So what is your email
account? It's adamarie@thegoldenoracle.com. The golden, golden. Oracle, oracle.com, and it's all small letters, and it's all one word.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how it works.
So anybody can email you.
Yeah,
and,
it's better if they email me and we set up a time for a call, because
mm-hmm.
I answer all the calls. But a lot of times, like in the middle of the afternoon, like between 2 and 5, I have more
mm-hmm.
time. And in the morning, between 6 and 9, I have more time. So I do get calls early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I do get a number of calls, especially out in New York, because 6 o'clock there is 9 o'clock my time. So,
no, 9 o'clock our time is 6 o'clock your time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I said it backward.
Yeah, that's
well,
okay.
That's
it gives
me.
Us a chance to smile, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and then can we learn much more about what you do and some of your things on your website?
Well, we can. You can go to the website. It's the Golden Oracle, of course, .com. But
mm-hmm.
I do a number of things. I do the private retreats, and people can call about that, and I can talk to them about it or send them information about it. People who want to do a one-day thing, and it's too far to fly sometimes. In fact, Mary, I just did. I did an 8 o'clock until 4 o'clock for a man in Albany,
New York.
Where
uh-huh.
That's
the capital of our state. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did that all in one day. I mean, I did the whole thing from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and that
mm-hmm.
was a day. You know, that was a whole day's work, and
mm-hmm.
He was perfectly happy with it. And then he called back later and said he would like to know if I would take another one of his people. And I said, yes, have him call me, and we'll set up a time. Because
mm-hmm.
it was cheaper for him to talk on the phone And then I told him,
fly
I said,
out there.
Yeah, and I said, I have unlimited calling. You call me, I'll call you back, and we'll do it. So,
mm-hmm.
because I have unlimited calling, if somebody calls
sure.
from New York and they want to talk for an hour, 2 hours, or three, and we set that time up and they pay me, then I call them back and then they don't have to pay for the call.
Sure.
And that's, I try to be as accommodating as I can, but it really does help because some people are paying, you know, $17 a minute or something ridiculous. So
yeah,
I'm very lucky because I have unlimited calling. And
no, so do I. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that helps. If they want to call and set up a time, I can do that, and then I can call them back, and they don't have to pay for that long call.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be as accommodating as I can.
You know, so, I love the stories that you tell about working with your clients. Is there any special story that you have about how managing to get one of your clients to smile?
Well, I'll tell you something really, really funny. It was so funny, I was in tears laughing. This lady called me, and I knew her. And I said, well, what's happening? And she said, I need you to call me right back. So I said, okay, hang up the phone. So I called her right back, and she didn't answer. Well,
uh-huh.
I tried in about 5 minutes, and she didn't answer the phone. She didn't answer the phone. So I waited for 20 minutes, and I called, and she did not answer the phone.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
I just waited. I thought, she's going to call me back. Something. Maybe she went to the bathroom. You know, who knows? She just wasn't there. So I waited, and she called me back about 3 hours later, and I said, I called you right back. What happened? She goes, you're not going to believe it. You are not going to believe this. She said, a car drove in just as we hung up the phone, and it was my aunt and uncle from Tennessee that I had not seen since I was 16 years old. And I could not believe it. I didn't even recognize them until they told me who they were. They were on my mother's side. And I forgot all about calling you back. So I said, okay, that's fine. But I said, I saved that time. She said, well, you know, they're going to stay for a couple of days. I said, okay, then you call me back and set up another time. But if you had just called me and said I'm busy, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But it's okay,
yeah.
I let it go because it was so hilariously funny because she said, I hung up the phone and this car drove in the yard and I went to see who it was and it was my aunt and uncle that I hadn't seen since I was 16. And they found her. Now, how did they find her? You know, do you want to know what they did, how they found her?
What'd they do?
Okay, they called their family in California and they didn't know where she was. So somebody told them to get on the internet and put their name in and find out where, and she could find them if she put their name into some kind of a something on the internet. I don't know what it was. Search bar or something. And she found, they found 190 people with the same name.
I see.
So then they had to go down through the list until they could find the ones that they thought might be them. So out of the three people they picked, none of them were the right ones, so they started again. And I said, okay, pick the person, pick the name that is second from the top, and that'll be the one you want. Call them up. And it was them. And they found them. And so they talked, and they were coming to visit, but they didn't say when. But they showed up 4 days later.
Oh,
they
I see.
Showed up and came, and that was when we were
How
talking.
How did they find you?
What, the people? They didn't find me. They found her. They weren't at my house. They were over at her house. She was in another state, and they came to visit her.
See.
They wanted to see her. So anyway, it was hilariously funny because I told her, I said, you just call the second name on the list, and it'll be your aunt and uncle. And it was. So she was ecstatically happy that she found him. So that it was really amazing. But sometimes, see, that was a sending. I just received a sending that the people, uh-huh. the ones they wanted by that name, was second on the list. And
I see.
It was a channeling. It wasn't me looking at their...
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. I had nothing to do with it.
Figure it out mathematically, yeah.
Of course not. I'm not even a mathematician. I just said, call the second name on the list and they'll answer your question. And it was
uh-huh.
Anne. So after a long time later, she joined the healing circle. She said, that was unbelievable. I said, I thought it was a little interesting myself. Out of 192 names, we come up with the right person the first time.
It's very interesting. Riot. Yeah, absolutely.
But,
That's a screen, isn't it?
There's a lot of people by the same name, Mary. And before we leave the show, I want people to know that your name may be 500 times somebody else's name. I mean, it may be the same name exactly.
Yeah.
You don't know. Because there's so many people that have so many different names now that there's a lot of people by the name of Mary. There's a lot of people by the name of Ada. There's a lot of people by the name of Sue, Mark, Jack, John, Wayne, Billy.
Well, the
Terry,
interesting
whomever.
Thing is, for the first time, we have an opportunity
name.
For the first time, we have an opportunity to reach all of them, and that's why it makes it such a mess. But that's why I became the Mary Blake, as you know, because I couldn't even find myself on Facebook. I mean, my friends would try to find me, and they said I got a Mary Blake in England, I got a Mary Blake in California, and we were just going nuts. And so I finally just decided I'm going to be the Mary Blake, and then they'll be able to find me. You know, because there's not another the Mary Blake. They can't have that anymore.
No.
It's gone.
They don't allow it.
Yeah.
So that was a good thing you did that.
That
and we're just
that
about
makes,
done.
That
so
makes,
we better tell
that
people
makes
to
me laugh, you know.
Have a smile at yourself in the morning when you look in the mirror. Smile at yourself before you go to sleep at night when you look in the mirror. And then just walk down the street smiling, because it's a good, healthy thing to do.
It sure is.
Before the show is over, I want everybody to know that a smile can turn their health around from absolute negativity to a positive, healthy, joyous person. So smile.
That is a good thing to know and to do and to be. Because when you smile, you lift the energy all around you.
Everywhere,
no matter where you are.
Yeah.
You really do. Mm-hmm.
So I want people to smile. That's an order. Do yourself a favor. Have a real good smile and share it with everybody you know, because it'll just go around and around. You have no idea how many lives you will save. Just like
the
boy
who
was sitting in the wheelchair and smiled at me, and I felt like a fool that I was feeling so sorry for myself.
And that boy helped to save your life.
He did help
to
save my life. He certainly did.
Mm-hmm.
And later, after a few months when I was able to move around better, I went over to visit and his mom. And she said, would you mind to sit here with him? I need to run to the store. I said, absolutely I will. So I sat and visited with him while she went to the store, because I felt like I owed them something. I mean, here I was, you know, in so much better shape than him. I wasn't in good shape, but I was certainly better off than he was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. So you never know when your smile is going to save somebody's life, literally. I'm telling you, it happens all the time. So
it
there
really
you go.
It really does.
Yes.
It really does. Well, what we want to do is to pass a giant smile all around the world.
Completely.
That's important.
The entire planet should have a giant smile on it. Okay?
And we are definitely closing with love and light.
That's
a big
for
smile.
Sure. Everyone and a smile attached. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay, Mary.
Bye.
Bye-bye.